Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Main interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you.
Hi, Victoria. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Wow, just like out of the gate, right? I am a romance reader and author. I have currently 3 books published and 1 more coming out. I write in the contemporary romance realm, and the genre is small town. And I love to like pile on multiple tropes and flip them on their heads a little bit. But most of my stories have usually a really strong female lead character. And yeah, and it's set in this small Colorado town. So we don't do like cowboys and down south just yet. These are more like boys. But yeah, that's just tip of the iceberg about me, but relevant to the podcast.
We got stuff to talk about. So we got to talk about, were you a romance reader? What kind of romance did you gravitate? Were you a small town romance reader? Or were you just kind of, I like other stuff, but you're like, I needed a break from it and I just created my own town. What kind of a romance reader were you before writing?
Sure. So I wish I was a reader for longer than I have been.
Yeah.
Honestly, as growing up, I was not a big reader. I was more of a movie girl. I was like a visual need to see it type thing. And just started reading romance really heavily a little bit before COVID started. And then when COVID happened, really it was like, what am I going to do with my time? And I have kids and I have things to take up my time, but not entertaining things. And really found out, I found the genre. I found my genre, and that was romance. And I started with, I think, small town, maybe some billionaire romance. And then, you know how it goes, you dive down the rabbit hole and all of a sudden you're reading crazy tropes, crazy subgenres. I will read just about anything. I love Omegaverse. I love paranormal romance. I won't say no to much if it's got a really good cast of characters.
So favorite things about romance, so you're like, do you like strong parents? Yeah, like found family or like a close-knit family? What kind of elements are you like, okay, these are like my must-have elements for my romance?
For my, I don't know. I think my must-have is, I always, because I think I also write this way, I really don't enjoy a female main character that is too, I don't know, that gets walked all over. Like I really, out of love an alpha, like strong male lead, but I also feel like if a female lead is not exciting in any way and I can't relate to her, then I have a hard time. But what I like, I will always read a single dad romance. I will always read an age gap romance. I really don't say no to much, but like, I don't know. It needs to be open door. That's my, I personally don't enjoy closed door romance because I'm like, wait, where is it? I need to see the details. I like especially the dirty ones. Yeah, I think I started reading closed door romance initially and I don't know, you just start different things. All of a sudden, here you are just reading smut all the time.
I can identify so much. So I actually started reading romance as a genre in 2016. I had no idea that it existed. I had read whatever was popular at the time beforehand. And someone told me about new adult romance. And I was like, oh, let me just give this a try. And most of them were like, they're really popular. They were not popular now on Book Talk because they revisited those romance, Paper Princess and the Addicted series. And I was like, I remember reading a couple closed door romance and I was like, I feel cheated. I feel like I'm like missing something. And it got to the point where I was like, I read so much spice that I just skip it over. And I'm getting better at going back to it because there's some emotional part of it. It does help the story move forward and you want to see a holistic story, but it's a journey because you're like, you really do, before you know it, you read like 300 books and you're like, what is my life?
You know, sometimes I almost get stuck on what I'm going to read next because I have so many things that I know I want to read. I want to go back to and read. There are like classic indie romance authors that I need to read in my mind. But then I have that squirrel who was so soon as someone posts quote from any book and I'm like, that sounds good, I'll take that. So I fall down the rabbit hole of what's new, what's fresh, and then all of a sudden I forget to go back.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So let's talk about the Brooks Romance. What led you to start writing the series?
So I knew I wanted to write a small town series, but I didn't. I wanted to do it based on a place that I had been before, and I had been to and fell madly in love with Telluride, Colorado, but it had been a long time since I had been there. So I didn't want to just flat out name the place and be able to make it loosely based off of there and then have some fun with it when I was world building. So that's where the story began, and I really loved this idea of the two main characters in the first book, Peaks of Color, is Everly and Jack, and Everly is like this boss babe leading her family's business. They do outdoor sports, and she has this mentality of where I've been so focused on work, I haven't been able to think about dating or finding a partner. And here I am in my mid-30s, and I feel like, what did I do wrong? And then, of course, this like insanely handsome man comes to town, and he becomes the photographer for her business, and there's some forced proximity, and it just unravels from there. It's not insta-lust, but it does happen for them fairly quickly. And it's just how they navigate each other, of her being this boss for a company and maybe wanting to make a midlife change, but she doesn't really have anybody to tell her that's okay to do it. So it's a, yeah. So I started there. And I knew by the time I was halfway through writing the first book that I wasn't done, that I knew that this was going to be a full-on series. I had built it in so that she had three brothers and that they were going to get their own stories. And the way that I write, I'm a bit of a discovery writer. I wish I was a more heavily outlined plotting type author. I feel like I would have less anxiety if I did that, but that's just not how I write. So I've come to accept it. So a lot of times, a lot of what comes of whatever is coming in the next book came because I started thinking about those characters in the previous book. So yeah, that's where it began.
I love this. And talk to us about peak performance. What should we expect from this book?
Sure. So Peak Performance is the fourth book in the series. It's the youngest brother, Law. He is at a place in his life where he's always been like the person that jokes around. Everybody doesn't take him seriously, but he's in a place where he wants to be taken seriously now. He wants to take over this family business. He's been told by his family that he's not ready yet. So he knows that there's going to be somebody coming into town to take on that position, that role for an interim. And he does a little bit of detective work and finds out who it is and ends up meeting her in a London club environment where sparks fly, and then doesn't really realize who she is at first until he like strolls into the office on Monday morning and it's his new boss. So it's a little bit of a like rivals to lovers scenario. There's fake dating involved and some close proximity. I'm trying to think what else. And in this one, I tried to do something a little bit different. There's no third act breakup in this last book. So there's conflict, obviously, but no third act breakup. So we'll see how that goes. I think I had actually a really fun time writing this story. It definitely falls in line with the rest of the books as far as spice goes. But yeah, I played with some of the tropes a little bit more.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it'll be good. And like really happy with where this series is ending and excited to move on to what's next after this one.
Oh my gosh, I love this. And what has been the most surprising thing about this publishing journey of launching the series? Like transitioning out of just a romance reader to a romance writer to an indie publishing and getting to know this, like the business of publishing, which
Yeah.
is a whole different game than just writing
Oh,
stories.
sure. I think I realized that it was that becoming a published author is as much of opening a small business as it would be like a brick and mortar store. You're creating a brand and you're creating a business. And that was surprising to me. I think I'm still regularly surprised when I hear people, whether it's through social media or through real life, that say, oh, I really loved this book. Like, when's your next one? To me, that's still so surprising. Really? And for my fragile author soul, like, I need that. There's always going to be the negatives. There's always, but I really do thrive on those positives. I don't know. I still get the chills a little bit when someone's, oh my gosh, I just read your book. It was so good. Or I really loved this character, or they connected to them in some way. To me, that's still like the most surprising part of it, that I'm able to put out a story where I've felt those things from other authors. It's really cool to be able to do that now.
That's
On the other.
amazing. I love the story. I love the sense of you're doing, you're helping, you're paying it forward, essentially. You're doing the same thing you received it before. You're like, I'm just gonna pay it forward. I'm gonna give you give you what you need, give you what you want, give you an escape from
reality. Yeah. And I think that's like the most enjoyable part is knowing that are my books for everybody? Nope, because everybody has different tastes. However, for the people that really enjoy it, I just feel it feels good. It feels good to be able to put like a little bit of creativity out into the world and have somebody really enjoy that. So that's always nice and surprising.
Yes. And so we got to talk about what to read next. So what books do you recommend our listeners to pick up after reading the Rick's Roman series?
Oh, what they should read after they read mine?
Let's give your book recommendations. You're like, here are some books. I'm like, you read my books. It's totally cool. And now we're going to give you whatever you feel like, whatever you feel your fancy.
If you want to talk like segue books where there's like comparative authors, if you've read these books,
yeah,
then come to me. Or if you've read me, then you could go to these books. Those are like, I would say if you've ever read the Flawless by Elsie Silver, that's a great book to go. She does like amazing small town romances. And that's like such a wonderful place to start. I think if you are a romance reader and have been for a while, I 1000% recommend the new Camelot series by Sierra Simone, because it is one of my all time favorites. And let's see, The Black Swan Affair by K.L. Creek.
Yeah.
Also so good. So I would say there. And then if you want to like dabble into, maybe you don't want to go like full fantasy, you want it like a romanticy. I really loved Holly Renee's Stars and Shadows series. She's got like really great world building, but there's still like a really good love story and really good like scenes involved. So those are my faves. I just read, actually just finished reading Brooke Montgomery's Here With Me, which is a cowboy. That's really good. It's like a great age gap. It's gotten quite a bit of attention, I think, on Instagram and BookTok, but it's a good one. It's enjoyable.
Yeah, I think isn't that boyfriend's dad or ex-boyfriend or best friend's dad or something like that?
Really? It hits all those tropes where you're just like, oh.
So now I realize I like it. Yeah. This age gap. Awesome. So Victoria, tell us where we can find you online.
You can find me just about anywhere. I'm really mostly on Instagram. So if you want to chat with me or find out what's like the most recent stuff happening, that's the best place to find me. I'm author Victoria Wilder right on Instagram. And then you can find me in all the rest of the places too. TikTok, Facebook, BookBub. And then I have a website too. Social media is such a better spot because then you can like direct chat me if you want.
Sounds good. Thank you, Victoria, for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.